B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, you just signed a new weapon, Tom. How much pull did you have lobbying for a guy like Antonio Brown, you know, coming and playing on this, you know, high explosive offense?
Well, I've watched Antonio for a long time and then had the opportunity to play with him last year for a short period of time. Jason and Bruce, you know, felt like there was a right opportunity to add him to a really talented group that we already have. And I certainly didn't object to it.
Oh, yeah, that's the sweet sounds of sappy mediocrity. Speaking of Three Doors Down. By the way, you can watch this show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you go to twitch.tv, search 98.5 The Sports Hub, get the Twitch app. They're always yelling and screaming about how much we suck over there. You can follow along with their commentary. Also, you can go and get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. John just said if there's corona, they could, you know, go to a 15-game season. Steelers, very good chance they'll be undefeated. And then it would be funny if they canceled week 15 and then or 16 and then the Steelers won the Super Bowl and the Miami Dolphins got upset. Oh, Mercury Morris just got upset about
ruining the Dolphins' existence. I'll tell you. Is Mercury
even
still
though they
with
played
us?
14 games?
No, he died, I think, a couple years ago.
Yeah, I refuse to believe it.
I think you're probably right. I mean, he's perfectville. I remember that year. There was no one more annoying in sports than Mercury Morris.
Because I got news for you. The Pittsburgh plays one good team for the rest of the season.
He's still alive, I'm being told? Okay. I just kind of thought he had died.
Well, listen, all right. He did enough cocaine to, you know, feed Peru for a year, so I would imagine that that's not off the table. But they play one good team, a team they already beat, and they play them at home. They
that Ravens game was close, though. I mean, that's
yeah,
a good one.
It's close. And they played the Ravens on the road, and they beat them.
But there's always, you know, that hiccup game. And as John was saying yesterday, and I agree with him, the Bengals could be that game.
That's I said it yesterday. But, yes, I mean, there's always a hiccup game. Of course, teams don't go undefeated. That goes without saying. But if you look at their schedule, they play one good team. Because the Browns aren't good, and Buffalo's not good. And the rest of it is crap.
Yeah, that's the one thing we found out this weekend.
We
all kind of sensed it because we've seen Josh Allen's act before, but Buffalo, a lot of people had bought into them a couple of weeks ago.
They'd never seen them.
They're not, obviously. They are not good. And the fact that the Patriots almost beat them kind of underlined that on Sunday.
All right, Will Brintz is senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He hosts the daily Pick 6 podcast. He joins us in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Will Brinson, hello.
What's going on, guys?
Trade deadline fever. I mean,
what an impactful day in the history of our country. It's going to have ramifications for years to come, depending on what NFL players are shipped to other locations.
I got that fever. I needed a little inoculation that only comes with spitting rumors with one Will Brinson. We've heard was it from CBS?
By the way. Mm-hmm. Talking about the Steelers running the table at 7-0 is for a dumb radio show, maybe the dumbest thing you guys have ever done.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you've weighed in on that. I'm glad that has been stated.
It's not a podcast or anything, but, you know.
I mean, it's not the issues of the day of the Pick 6 podcast.
I know.
Which I'm
only
sure.
We had one of those.
I mean, we could really get down to the nitty-gritty if we did that.
Hey, you dictate
the conversation. Where should we go?
The introduction is literally like, it's like, it's a radio show like no other. I love your radio show. It's a great radio show.
My point was, Will, before I hang up on you.
Here we go.
My point was, wouldn't it be funny if they canceled the final game and it left Mercury Morris in a spin cycle trying to go, well, he didn't play. Even though I know Miami only played 14 games, they go, well, he didn't have the week 16. That was my point. The point was the hell that it would be for the 72 Dolphins was the point that I was making.
I bet the Steelers will lose.
Well, this is a crappy topic. I don't want to talk about it anymore. You're the one who said it was crappy, and I never asked you about it. Yeah. What I asked you is, you're an insider. Make with the predictions. Who's moving today? Stephon Gilmore, he going?
I don't think it's gonna be that busy. One, I think the people of the world may be preoccupied with other things. Two, I think it's a great idea that you would trade Cam Newton and trade Stephon Gilmore and tank your face off and let Sam Darnold beat you and go get Trevor Lawrence, and that sounds good in theory, but it's a tough sell, one, to your team, and two,
it's not happening.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, also, if you, I mean, remember, we saw Avery Williamson get traded, right, to the Steelers?
Yeah.
Or Antonio Brown got signed, well, he's in a suspension, but, like, you can't just trade somebody and have them play right away. You know, if you, it makes the compensation, like, wildly, like, substantially more difficult, because the guy that you're trading for has to wait a lot longer because of COVID protocols. I mean, it's a huge pain in the ass. Like, you can't trade for somebody and just toss him out there the following week. You know, you're losing him for an extra week, and that's not the end of the world when it all comes down to it. But I mean, so, you know, you're talking about two teams. One, it has to be a team that is completely tanking, and as we know, if you're tanking, your team either sucks, or you're the Bengals and you refuse to trade players. And then two, now the NFL, as Chris Mortensen reported last night, is floating the idea of, all right, if we can't play 16 games, we might have 8 teams in the playoffs. And there's already 7 teams from each conference getting in. So if you're, I mean, the Vikings are a good example. They're 2-5. They look dead in the water. But look at, look at their schedule. They should probably win 4 of their next 5
games. That's a stupid thing to say. You say that you're so much different than the other writers, but here you are. You're projecting their schedule. It's only 7 games in, Will.
I set myself up for it. I admitted it was set up.
Is this what I expect from the Pick 6 podcast? This drivel? This drivel? Yeah. This mindless crap that you're spewing over the airwaves? Our show?
Yes, this is what you should expect. Exactly what you should expect.
No, but Belichick's right. If Belichick doesn't get rid of Gilmore, I'm sure you've heard his conversations. I mean, he's making excuses, and he's talking about, I mean, he's saying, not reading into what he's saying, he's saying this is a correction year. He's saying that, and I guess if you look at the reality, he's not right, but he says that they were up against the cap, and this is why they're playing the guys they're playing, so this is a correction year, and if that's the case, I can't think of, and I guess, you know, if they win 4-5 games, 6 games, they could make the playoffs fantastic and get rolled, but nonetheless, I mean, if this is a wasted season, you're hanging on to Stephon Gilmore, he's not going to play on the current contract next season, so there's no reason to keep him. There's none.
I mean, look, if you're Bill Belichick, it's not exactly a fun time. Right. I mean, Tom Brady sort of got it cooking in Tampa Bay, and they didn't look great on Monday night by any stretch of the imagination. The Giants are awful, right? They played a good defensive game, but it was a clear look-ahead game for the Saints next week. I guess Tom Brady also likes to look at the schedule. And, you know, you're hearing from every corner of the world, like, hey, was it Tom all along in New England? And I think it's silly, but you know, I mean, it's like it's people. The vultures are coming, man. I mean, it's dynasty dead time. Tom Brady was responsible time. Like, that's going to start building up if the Patriots are terrible, and it ignores the fact that, you know, Tom Brady wouldn't be very good on this Patriots team either, because this Patriots team just isn't very good anymore. I think you should trade Stephon Gilmore. I just don't know if you can.
Okay. Will, what's
I don't think it's guaranteed that it happens.
Will, what's today's date?
November 3rd, maybe?
November 3rd. What were you doing on the 15th of September at 5:30 in the afternoon in the year of our Lord, 2019?
September 15th, 2019.
Full 2 months prior to November 3rd, you were tweeting. In the wake of New England's 43-0 mercy roll outing in Miami, Superbooks USA released Pats undefeated and Dolphins winless odds. Will the Pats go 16-0? Yes, plus 1,000. So that was a topic of interest to you and a year ago on the 15th of the of September.
What are you talking about?
You were tweeting on the 15th of September about the odds of the Patriots going undefeated.
In 2019?
Yes.
What the hell is that? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's, so I tweeted out that a Superbook released it?
No, he's saying you said talking about Pittsburgh going undefeated at this time was silly, and now he's got you tweeting out earlier than November about another team going undefeated. That is what's
trying to get the odds out.
What, pray tell, Your Honor, was the second part of that? Did it involve the Dolphins going winless?
Yes.
I will talk about the Jets going winless because the Jets might not win a football game. They suck.
All right. Well, I just want to know there's hypocrisy.
I have money on that, by the way. So, I mean,
hypocrisy rules the airways when Will Brinson's on. That was from a listener. I had to check, and that was a listener. A listener doing our bidding.
Who's this narc in Southie?
Don't you insult regional people here just because they caught you in a fib.
Here we go.
All right, honestly, we're running out of time, and we're kidding around. But seriously, anything to look out for today? I understand it's election day, but we're trying to avoid that on the show because people got enough stress. As a distraction, do you see anything happening?
I think the Texans might make some moves.
Okay.
I think old Jack Easterby might be cooking up some bad trades. That's what I think might be happening.
I've heard that J.J. Watt is a name that they might be getting rid of. Have you heard that?
Yeah, he's at least – I mean, J.J. Watt's like, get me out of here, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think Will Fuller, he's in the last year of his deal. Brandon Cooks, you're talking about wide receivers, so you're not going to get – don't expect, like, you know, first-round pick for Will Fuller. Unless Jack Easterby is wildly overvaluing them, which is, I guess, is possible, but it's also probably likely that he's wildly underestimating the market. I mean, look at their last 10 contract signings and or trades. I mean, he was involved with them with Bill O'Brien. I think there's a good chance that he will sell some players at a Costco-level price today.
All right. Should be interesting. It's always funny when the Texans get involved. Will Brinson. Read them on CBSSports.com. You can also listen to the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
All right. Happy election day. See you guys.
All right. Very good. Jesus, he's full of anxiety. This election thing's got him going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he was like,
he didn't even want to talk about football. He's like, I don't think with the election. They're going to stop doing business. The NFL's going to stop. All the GMs are too distracted with the election. They can't do anything today. They're too distracted.
Chances he zigs when we think he's going to zag. What if they become buyers today?
Oh boy.
Jesus. Chances he would do it?
To be stubborn? Yeah. Just to be a jackass? Yeah. Now listen, if they get some kid in the second year of his contract and he's proven something in the NFL, take it all day because they can't draft anything for crap. So maybe that's not the worst idea in the world. But yeah. Chances are they're like, I'm smarter than everyone. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, he could do that.
Well, what you don't understand, jackasses, is that we have some cap space now.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, by the way, we can do this when we get back. Manish Mehta has weighed in on the Patriots and the Jets, and he's finally getting to crack his knuckles and go, now I get to say these things about the Patriots.
Yes, indeed. Well, good luck. I'm glad you got on the Daily News because that's very difficult to do. When you go to the Daily News website, it just seems like some kid found out how to post videos on top of everything. Video. Okay. Very good. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, for Touch Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hello and welcome to the Idaho Debates at the Idaho Public Television Studios. Tonight, the four Republican candidates for governor take the stage to ask for your vote. I want to welcome the candidates Harley Brown, Walt Bayes, Governor C.L. Butch Otter, and Senator Russ Fulcher. So, Mr. Brown, your remarks.
You know, I was filling out my taxes a couple of months ago, and I thought to myself, thank God we don't get all the government that we pay for. They say that the child is the father of the man. And when I was a kid, I used to play army all the time. Bang, I got you. No, bang, I got you. I could never once remember one incident in my childhood when I played politician. And when I grew up a young man, I was the youngest company commander in the United States Navy Seabees. You know, the Mud Marines, the Naval Construction Forces. You turn Iwo Jima into something besides a photo op for the Corps. Anyhow, I got out of the service, and several years later, I was at the low point of my life. I mean, things were bad. And I cried out to God. I said, God, how about putting me back on active duty and making me a battalion commander? Long story short, he says, no, son, I got a higher rank for you. I'm going to make you the commander-in-chief. And I stagger not at his promise. I'll get into that more with you. Don't think I'm crazy, because I'm not.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Brown. Mr. Bayes, your opening remarks.
I stand on principles. I went to jail for homeschooling, and my kids turned out pretty good. I had four sons that made pro rodeo cowboys and one daughter. I've got 77 descendants. My wife and I had 16 kids, 8 boys and 8 girls, and I've got a lot at stake here. We've got a thing called abortion. If I'm governor, I am going to enforce the law, and somebody says, what about the Supreme Court? If the Supreme Court goes to hell, I'm not following.
Guy's got a good point. He's got 10 kids. He's against abortion.
16.
Oh, I apologize.
How many spawn did he have? It was like 78 or something like that?
Yeah, it sounds like that guy is the... You know what? You, I was all pro-choice, and now you really flung that curveball at me, and now I don't know what to do.
Okay, so that one guy, Harley Brown, which is, by the way...
Maybe that was some... They planted him. The pro-choice people planted him in that debate.
What's phenomenal is that that's a real debate that was... I think that was the last election, and it was in Idaho for governor. And you've got... this dude, Harley Brown, who has got, like, you know, the leather beret, and he's got the biker jacket on. You got that other guy that's so old that if you farted, he would just disintegrate. And then the actual governor of the state, who looks like a normal dude, standing in between the both of them. What's his name? Doug C.J. Otter?
C.L. Butch Otter. He was governor from 2007 to 2019.
Yeah, Idaho's okay. Crazy. Because, like...
Crazy.
Because they have people... Because, you know, there's... small-ass districts that get congresspeople, and they got, like, craziness with the people that are actually in Congress and their stuff that they're campaigning on. Yeah, you get into those, like, real small districts, and there's shenanigans.
Harley Brown guy, though, Fred, he is, I mean, like, I can watch the highlights of him at this debate over and over again. As a matter of fact, at one point, this is a real debate. This is sure. On TV. This is the governor's involved in it, and they go to Harley Brown with this.
You've posted bigoted jokes on your website, skewering women and gays and Jews and Asians and
Thank you.
People like
and
me,
bikers and Irishmen too.
Irishmen too. How is that sort of disrespect for people going to allow you to govern?
And those Harleyisms that I called had a lot of warning on there. You know, you might find this offensive, but I hit everybody, Jews, Polish people,
Irish, Jews,
Italians, religious jokes, and
Jews.
Black jokes. And by the way, my wife screened that, and we took the real hardcore zingers out. So in case I get any flack from people like you, I can fire that back and attack my attackers. And I'm about as politically correct as your proverbial turd in a punch bowl.
And
I'm proud
I
of
said
it,
before,
and I'm going for it, and I'm going for the vote of the real people out there, not these bondage-type people who don't have a clue about picking up strangers at night and hauling them God knows where. Try that for a while.
The next question is for Mr. Bass.
Where did he go there? He just all of a sudden, people don't know about
he was
like,
hauling human cattle. By the way, I said before, I am convinced that if they didn't stop him, he would have said, I'm like a turd in a proverbial punch bowl. And in a literal punch bowl. And he just pulls out a piece of his own feces in a bowl of some sort of juice.
I mean, there was.
I call them Harleyisms. Other people call it Nazi propaganda. Yeah. I poke at everyone, the Irish, the Jews, the blacks, the Jews, the Polish, Jewish people.
And if you think those are bad, how about the ones I really found funny that my wife didn't let me put
up? Well, those were just straight up death threats and call to arms, but I pulled them down for people like you.
I don't know what.
Listen,
it is
everyone
about...
involves. Everyone loves a good joke.
Harleyism,
and everyone could enjoy a truly tasteless joke, as I'm sure we all have taken a dump before reading truly tasteless jokes at some point in our lives. But Harleyisms, I really got to see. I would love to see.
Matter of fact, I wonder if the Harleyisms are still up. I'm looking at Harley Brown's website.
Is Axe Jeeves still a website? Perhaps you could ask Geocities. Jeeves.
That's right.
Right. Well, there's a Harley Brown who's an artist. I mean, this guy seems to be an artist, but that is not the one. But, I mean, it was like Idaho. There was like a war between who was going to have the most insane debates. Was it Idaho or Vermont? I mean, Vermont was...
Lake Champlain, baby. Yep.
Well, Vermont has got it's ruined a little bit by the boot in his head guy because he is doing it to get a rise out of people.
He's in New Hampshire, I think.
Oh, because in Idaho they're really trying. Like they're in there with the purpose to win.
Well, Vermont was like
I am an earth activist. I consider myself what is known as a light worker.
Okay. And everyone in Vermont just shook their head and said, "And yes, you live here. Well, you are a light worker.
Third generation, born in Vermont. Take that back. I was born in Brooklyn."
Yes. Take that back. It slipped my mind, the place of my birth.
Yeah. That's the guy who won, I think. I think it was a dude who won. But then there was.
What do you call a person who gets room and board for their work? Slaves. All right, and that's
what
you
try like driving
the slaves in the workplace in all capitalism.
Okay, well, you try driving them around, buddy.
Who was the one that was there was a woman who was running just on wanting to put bathroom stops along the highway?
Yeah, she had a weak bladder, and that was she.
I'm not joking.
That was, like, I know. I know.
Big thing. She wanted to add some bathrooms on there. I don't remember. Maybe, is this what
this
is this
bottle of water on my table here?
No, it's just one of the other guys who's running and just, I don't know, for some reason, like to...
Bottle of water.
Yeah.
What's destroying our society and our environment, which is capitalism, represented, I guess, by this bottle of water on my table here.
He's anti the bottled water industry. I guess far too much debris. Far too much debris.
But if you didn't know, there is also somebody else who, you know, today it's a very big day for them. I'm not sure.
Sometimes politics don't make any sense.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
But is that a bad thing?
You know, ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
This election day, vote for a guy that may not make a lot of sense.
Brett Dundo is doing pretty good this year.
But for America, he makes all the sense in the world.
Cincinnati is, far out.
Vote Faster Guy this election day and get him in the White House until he disappears again, probably sooner than later.
Step by step, baby.
Paid for by the meat industry.
Step into a Slim Jam.
Yeah, Big Meat is all behind him. There is a guy in rehab that sounded exactly like the Faster Guy.
Maybe it was him.
I didn't dare ask. I didn't want to ruin the moment.
Tammy Steinfeld, what do you think?
Could be about time for another one. The decision. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm online. That decision will be made at 10. We're live in Columbus Circle. Fix 11 News.
Yep. That's how she talks to her minions. That's how she motivates the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's about some time someone talked to them. All right, Rich, we have the old Stackarooski coming up. What are we going to talk about?
We got some new details on the upcoming NHL season. On top of that, one of Sean Connery's best friends pays tribute, and John Lester does the ultimate cool guy move while he's leaving Chicago.
All right.
We're heading here.
Good. Well, I got my 20 games. Can't wait to see Lester take the hill four times.
I don't think you're going to get that many. Again, he's going to break down after the first couple of months.
Every 5 days, death taxes and Lester takes the hill.
I see.
Mm-hmm. He'll throw to first base like nobody's business. All right, we will be back here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. Well, you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everywhere you look, the city has problems.
Brooklyn Police.
Oh, hi. There is a very stupid child on the baseball diamond at Shears Park.
And it seems like sometimes there's no one to turn to.
There's a rabbit on my driveway that's... I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
But let's face it, people.
They were laughing at me.
Okay.
And they were laughing about it.
These aren't real problems.
Okay, I'm sorry that happened to you. Oh.
Dear people of Brookline, let's concentrate on the real problems and get to the polls.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
And then maybe we can once again consider things like this.
There has been a very disheveled mailman who has been walking up and down our street.
Real problems.
It's for a sound fire hydrant.
It's for a what?
Forgive me.
Paid for by the Please Stop Calling 911 for Dumb Things Like This Committee of Brookline, Massachusetts.
You know, my mother was a very lady.
Oh.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
And in 5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, John Wallach. What do we got?
When donations sponsors the Stack Fred, it's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
So Bill Belichick just went face-to-face with the press, and Mike Greece brought the heat. He said, Bill, you going to be buyers or sellers at this trade deadline?
Is it too early to say for you guys if you envision any movement? Whether it's acquiring a player or trading a player.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know at this point.
Yeah, I mean.
Isn't that right? Trade deadline.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Are you going to be moving, shaking on the deadline there, McCons?
When it's all done and over with, he'll be laughing.
By the way, we had an NFL reporter come on and say he didn't think much was going to happen to the trade deadline because of the election. I just want that to be written down. That came out of someone's mouth. That the election was going to be so overwhelming for these GMs. That's the way I took it. Am I the only one who took it that way?
No, that was pretty much what he said. No.
That they were going to be glued to CNN and skirt their responsibilities. These guys that were told work 20 hours a day during the season. That they are going to be so enamored by the coverage of the election that they will have, they will not make the deals that were once required.
I have a feeling that Wilburton's
maybe Will Brinson needs a little break.
He needs a hug. I think he needs a hug.
I think Will Brinson maybe need a little break from the
show. Oh, I love when Will Brinson's on. There's something weird going on between you guys that happened when I was gone.
No, there's nothing weird going on between us.
Rich, the last couple of weeks have been weird, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it started when there was something that happened when I was gone, and I don't know what it was. There was like a fight between you guys, and ever since then, like, there's been a weird tension between the two of you. Am I wrong?
I don't feel any tension with him.
No, but that's true. There was a period, there was 1 week, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago when Rich was not here?
Yeah, when I said it was, I said that the NFL didn't need to announce what their plan was, and he said that I was crazy, and then the next week he didn't remember what he had said, and then when I said what it was, he said, oh, you were right. So he got all his feathers all up, and then the next week went, oh, yeah, you were right.
But it's been weird since then. It's been tense.
He just doesn't seem to know what's going on is what's weird. I mean, it's just weird.
I don't think we have him on as an insider. We have him because he's a funny guy who has a unique opinion about football.
Well, that would be good if he could express that to us in some way during our interview.
I don't want to give it Will Brinson. I like Will Brinson. I think you two boys just need to work things out. I think you know.
I don't have a problem with Will Brinson. I was trying to have fun with him with the thing about the Steelers. And then a listener sent that he had put, a great listener had went through his Twitter timeline, which has to take a long time.
Our listeners are sharks. They are sharks.
And found that he had tweeted something in effing September about the team going undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And when presented with that, he then did the stall tactic that I hate. If you ever argue with someone and they do a stall tactic of like, what are you talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're stalling. You're trying to get your wits about you. Don't do that.
In fairness, I didn't know what you were talking about either at the time. Well,
he was the one that had made the statement, and it was a conversation at that point between him and I. And if you're engaged in a conversation, I have it very difficult to believe that you would know that you wouldn't know what I was talking about. Putting two together is not hard.
All right. Well, I don't want to give up on Will, so maybe we just kind of, you know,
tell him
to, next break,
to be good.
You guys can break some bread.
Put him on probation.
I'm not mad at him. I don't care. If he wants to bust the balls of me or the show, that's fine. But be funny or insightful. Don't be confused and weird.
This is the tension I'm talking about.
I'm not tense around him. I don't dislike Will Brinson. I think he's been bad on the show. John agrees. We talked about it off the
last couple of weeks.
You and people from Carolina, Fred, there's just something strange. Yeah. It's oil and water.
No, but I mean, the last 2 weeks, the last 3 weeks have been different from how long has Will been on the show? 5-6 years?
It's ever since that thing happened when I wasn't here.
No, but I mean, it hasn't been good radio, correct? The last couple of weeks?
I would say it has not. But what do I care? I mean, we can have him on. It's one segment once a week. I don't care.
Yeah, I like
him. And by the way, if I hate South Carolina so much, you should have told my fingers that back in high school when I used to vacation in Hilton Head.
Should have told your fingers that?
Yes. Because I was playing the piano a lot.
Okay. Playing the organ?
That's right, baby. Yeah. You just got yourself a writer's room, kid. You just got yourself you got the hustler mentality.
If you want to hear the worst jokes, like we were talking about this movie the other day, and for some reason, a friend of mine heard us talking about it and like sent me a clip. Just watch Meet Wally Sparks, the Rodney Dangerfield movie that he made way too late in his career. Like, it's basically all of these people did him a favor and like guest starred in this movie about, like, he plays this, like, I don't know, some guy who's basically Rodney Dangerfield, but they call him Wally Sparks for some weird reason. And all of these people like show up, and he went from being like one of the funniest guys to just the hackiest jokes you've ever. It was like straight from the Catskills, the stuff he rips out of that movie.
He never wrote his own jokes. So he just...
Oh, really? Those weren't his jokes?
I'm sure that he came... I mean, he came up... The main thing is he came up with the persona, and you can't... he's the best timing. And for a joke teller, a guy who strictly tells jokes, he's the best timing, I'd argue, of all time. But, yeah, he didn't write the vast majority of those. You think that one guy could go on Carson, who'd put him on the couch for 15 minutes and rally off? I mean, the guy's memory is insane, but, I mean, he would tell 50 jokes.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way one guy can write 50 jokes and keep his act fresh. There's no way.
Oh, sure they could. I'm sure that, like, what's his name? Hedberg wrote all of his own jokes.
Henny Youngman?
And he was joke after joke after joke after joke.
But Hedberg, I mean, Rodney would go on Carson, like, all the time, and Carson would have him on the panel, and he would just sit there for 15 minutes mopping his brow and just wanting to get off so he could do more coke. And you know, but be sitting there, and he would tell 50, 60 jokes. There's no way one guy could write that many jokes. Well, no, he didn't. I mean, Apatow wrote for him at one point. I mean, all these guys had joke writers. By the way, if you really do watch the Comedy Store documentaries, you'll never guess in a million years, but there is a villain. There is only one villain, comedic villain. I've not seen the last one. There's one more I haven't seen, but I've seen the first five. One comedic villain. Now, we have people who satanic worship, suicides, murders. Mm-hmm. Did someone give Freddie Prinze the gun? There's all these stories, but when it comes away with one true villain, Would you care to guess the comedian's name? And it's just based on him being a dick.
Okay, well, there's a couple, but the one main one is the guy who stole everybody's jokes, Carlos Mencia, right?
Carlos Mencia, yes, I'm sorry, yes, he is a villain, but there's one even more surprising than that.
Because it's not Dane Cook, because comedians love, like, the guys
Dane
who
Cook,
were
big with
Dane Cook, they love Dane Cook.
I don't think
they,
he worked out of the story either, but these are established comedians, I'll tell you right now, because you'll never guess. Eddie Griffin. Apparently, wow. Eddie Griffin... would go in and just literally do 4 hours.
And he's one of the hardest I've laughed at a comedy show, Eddie Griffin,
well,
believe it or not.
He really took his time coming up with that hour because he, I guess he would, and there's Ari Shaffir is talking, who I like, but Ari Shaffir is talking, he's like, why? So this guy got a show on the WB and now he can ruin all our lives?
Malcolm and Eddie, that's right.
Because I guess that Eddie Griffin would just go up and stand there for 4 hours.
You do not kick undercover brother off the stage, okay?
Yeah, he really didn't earn that slot. But I guess that was a very dark time for the Comedy Store, that that it wasn't a good place to be. People didn't like him.
I remember Orny Adams being a bad guy in a documentary. I watched that Seinfeld documentary that he did where he tried to get back into comedy, and they juxtaposed him, you know, trying to get back in there and quote-unquote failing on stage, which he didn't, but they made it look like he did because he's Seinfeld. People would laugh if he just, you know, ended up reading a book. But then they had this guy named Orny Adams, who's a young up-and-coming guy, and they painted him as being this, like, total dick. And I guess in real life, he's an okay guy. Did you ever see that movie, Comedian?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Orny Adams is an okay guy, but they needed a villain for the film, and I guess he's like all like pissed that it almost like ruined his career. He thought it was going to be his big break because it was in a Seinfeld movie, but I guess everyone thinks he's a dick now, so well, what can you do? You sold your soul. Speaking of money, this is a really bad transition and I apologize, but John Lester, you know, he's probably not going to be back with the Cubs. It sure as hell doesn't seem like it. And he spent $47,000 on beers for his fans this past weekend. He tweeted out his tab. He said in a tweet at the end of last week, come to this specific bar and your first beer is on me. And just a few hours later after that started, $47,000 worth of beer. That's a cool guy move.
Probably so many hot chicks there too once he made that announcement. Did you get
the free beer announcement?
Yeah, they want to go to the bar with all the people, all the guys that want the one free beer. It's just stacked with models.
Well, that's a decent point. Now, John, you think that he is going to be back?
Yes.
Here as a Red Sox.
I do. I'm convinced that he's coming back here. Okay. And because the Cubs just declined his option. He was supposed to make $25 million, whatever. He's not a $25 million pitcher. He's 2 years past his best season. He was awful this year. But the Red Sox need someone to pay attention to them next season with all the injuries to their pitching staff. So Chaim Bloom, under orders, because I think Bloom is a smart baseball guy and would never spend the money on this guy, but Bloom, under orders, is going to go have to sign John Lester to, you know, fill up innings and get fans to go, oh, I remember Lester. He won that World Series against the Cardinals in 2013. You know, boy, remember him? And here he is coming to end his career in Boston. Isn't that great?
Hey, if Erod's still hurt, he's your best pitcher right now.
That speaks volumes about how bad this team is.
They can't go into the season with him being their best pitcher.
Right, well, I wouldn't think so, too. By the way, who was the rumor that came out that said that the Red Sox could be, like, big spenders this offseason? Like, there was something
that... I read that, too. Now that they've reset the luxury tax and they can pay dollar for dollar, apparently, because they saved all that money this year on crap talent... they will be one of the few teams that won't feel the budget crunch.
Great.
Because of the
pandemic.
Should
have been a big spender on Mookie Betts. Well, way to go.
No,
good job.
No. If they go out and they if they go out and they get Springer, I mean, or no, who's the guy? Who's
Springer, the center fielder for Houston.
If they go out and they get Springer.
Love Springer. I would just, that would be great to have Springer in center, Verdugo in right, and, you know, Benintendi in left if he ever finds himself again. That could be your outfield for the next 5 years. It'd be great.
I don't know if you want to go out and get a 31-year-old center fielder, though.
Yeah, that would be...
Well, unlike Betts, Springer is a big guy. He's not... and you're not depending upon him to steal bases.
It just doesn't seem like something Chaim Bloom would do, but maybe... I mean, maybe you want
to... He's got a bigger budget than he's ever had before to deal with.
Yeah, maybe you want to, you know... kick it around. I don't know. He certainly won't make anywhere near what Betts makes. So that's
nope.
For sure.
And Springer's 31. You give him 5 or 6 years, and of course, there are a couple of years at the back end. He won't be productive. But this guy was on pace to hit 40 homers this year after hitting 39 last year. I want that guy on my team.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, over the weekend, we had a legend end up leaving us, Mr. Sean Connery. And I posted
Why
a picture.
Why does he have to die at 90?
I know. He lived a full life. This was not one of those, like, 2020. It's, you know, it stinks, but he's, you know, been old for a while.
Enough! 2020. Now 90-year-olds are dying? What's next?
I posted a photo of what is one of the all-time great movie outfits. It's him in this thing that really was the Borat outfit before Borat, yeah. And it was done unironically. It was a space future movie he was in.
It's called Zardoz. The Man with the Big Penis.
He's got a hell of a package in that picture. Whether that's real or that's like some package.
Whatever it is, that's what the outfit should be called. Is Man
but
with
have
the Big
you
Penis.
Ever seen that movie, Fred?
No.
I guarantee you haven't. Okay, John, have you ever seen Zardoz?
I have not.
Okay. It might be worth a watch. This movie is so messed up. I'll just play you a scene from it. There's a scene where it's in the future, and Sean Connery's in those things with a big group of warriors like that, and this giant head starts talking to him who's supposed to be their god and says this.
The gun is good.
The gun is good.
The penis is evil. The penis shoots seeds. And makes new life to poison the earth with a plague of men, as once it was. Purifies the earth of the filth of brutals. Go forth and kill.
Okay, so the gun is good, the penis is evil.
They don't want them procreating, is what they're saying.
Yeah, just shoot people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about those breaking things that people do with baseball and football cards and all this, which I'd never heard of, where, you know, basically if you can't afford to buy an entire box, you buy a share of it and then you watch online or either in person, somebody, a professional, breaks open the box and, you know, you end up getting some of the cards in there. Well, apparently, Rob Kardashian?
Yeah.
He got a card on one of these things that apparently could be worth $250,000. You're telling me that in one of these boxes that just gets released, you can get a card that's worth $250,000?
What was it?
It was a 2020 Panini Mosaic Choice card, and it was a Tom Brady MVP Nebula. An ultra-rare one-of-one card that's worth a fortune.
Sell that now. Yep. Right this second, sell it.
You're not going to get $250,000
for it. Wow. All right.
Who's paying $250,000 for a card any kind that was just made?
That's the problem, is that if you have one of those ultra-expensive cards, you're dealing to an audience of like 100.
Yeah.
So if they don't drive the price up, you're screwed. It's not like something that... This sounds all obvious, but you... Maybe this puts in perspective, you know, I might buy a box of cards, you know, for $5,000 or something. I haven't, but say I did. But there might be, you know, 10,000 people vying for that box, you know, 15,000 people vying for that box. A card's worth $250,000. That's just what they say. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's completely up to the five guys that would, you know, bid on it. So
sell now.
Yeah, sell if you can. Mm-hmm. Sell if you can. All right. Everyone, enjoy your day today. Try to keep it together. In fact, to keep your side of the street clean, believe in something greater than yourself, and we'll get through anything that happens. Everyone, have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.